All education meeting together and come on up if you would, the sponsor. If you would, call a roll, please, Kelly.
Justin Holder. Justin Simmons. Justin Sponholm.
Here.
Justin Talwika.
Here.
Justin Steeton.
Here.
Justin Vasquez.
Here.
Sheriff Keller.
Here. Okay, so we have before us today SB 174, and let the record reflect that Representative Drummond has just walked in. I expect Representative Culver shortly. I know I just saw him. So, if we would, we'll go right to the sponsor and describe SB 174. And we have Representative Tilton back there in the corner. I just wanted to put that on the record. If you would, identify yourself and tell us about SB 174.
Good afternoon. Chairman Keller, thank you for having this meeting. I appreciate it, particularly at this late date. SB 174 addresses what seems to be a constitutional conflict between the university, which is a subdivision of the state, and the people of Alaska. In 2003, the ability for Alaskans to carry a weapon concealed was made blanket over the state with certain age limits, and the university did not recognize that and has a policy that's posted at their buildings and on campus that you can't carry there, which is inconsistent with state law. The constitutional conflict is probably more important because when a subdivision of the state is going to restrict a constitutional right, it has to be done under the strict scrutiny doctrine, has to achieve the objectives that it states it needs to achieve, the larger purpose for the state. It needs to be least restrictive, and it needs to, that entity needs to have the authority to do it. There's nothing in state law that gives the university the authority to restrict that right or any other right. And so our bill tries to accommodate some of the current concerns the university has. They have a somewhat unique position in the state. And so some of their objections and their concerns I thought were reasonable. We try to accommodate them. Some remain unaccommodated. That's just life. I mean, they're the Board of Regents, and we're the legislature, and they're not necessarily always going to like the things that we do. But we tried to accommodate them in some of the areas that I thought were important. One was that they have dormitories, and dormitories are something that most Alaskans don't have to deal with. And so we listened to them, and we put some provisions in the bill that causes the weapons to be secured in the dormitory. They had concerns that they have employee discipline or student discipline areas where you would conduct employee and student discipline, and they wanted to restrict firearms there, and we've said that's fine, you can do that. They made reference to the fact that they sometimes have to deal with domestic violence issues and do investigations, and they wanted to be able to restrict them in those areas, and we said that's fine, you can do that as well. Some of the areas that we didn't go along with their concerns, we thought they were overreaching, and that those areas they were already dealt with in state law. And Mr. Chairman, I think if you want to get into those kinds of questions, Mr. Burns will be here. I've got to get back to a leadership meeting, but I just wanted to kind of tick through some of those places where we accommodated the university. The university also put $1.3 million fiscal note attached to the bill in Senate Finance, and we zeroed it out, and we did that with great confidence. They really did not make the case that they had to spend that kind of money. Essentially, what they rely on now is a red sign that says, don't carry. You, good guys, bad guys, don't carry. They anticipate that red sign and that policy is going to stop people with ill intent from carrying out some of the heinous acts that we've seen over the last few years. My biggest concern are mass shootings and other things. And by the way, sexual assault. I think it's important for women to be able to carry to defend themselves. And they've relied on that red sign, and now since we're saying you can't make that policy, all of a sudden they want to spend millions of dollars. Somehow it's a completely different issue now. We didn't think in finance. Obviously, you're a separate body. You make your decisions, and we welcome the debate. But at Senate Finance, we were quite comfortable in removing the fiscal note. They did not make the case. Other places in the United States have dealt with this issue, and they didn't have to spend anywhere near the money that the university was saying. As a matter of fact, in some places, they've just never appropriated any money to achieve these same ends. That's pretty much it, Mr. Chairman. It's a constitutional issue. It's a statutory issue between the state and the university. I believe it's an overreach by the university to say that somehow when we enacted state law, Eric Croft is the one who wrote it and passed it, that somehow it didn't apply to them. They are clearly a subdivision of the state. And our Constitution says that right will not be infringed. And they have clearly infringed it. I also look to the future, and people have asked me, why are you doing this bill? You got $4.1 billion to worry about. And as the co-chair of finance, believe me, I worry about $4.1 billion, so don't worry about that. If people need to be worrying about that, I am. But, you know, when the San Bernardino shooting happened, it just dawned on me this is going to continue to happen in the United States. And these places where they have relied on the red sign instead of on the constitutional rights of Americans and Alaskans to defend themselves, The results have not been good. Virginia Tech, 32 dead. Umpqua State, 10 dead. Northern Illinois, 6 dead, I think. Plus a number of injured. And then we go into the many school shootings. All these places are in gun-free zones. And I thought one of the most interesting things was the guy they call the Batman shooter, the fellow who shot up the theater in Colorado. There were other theaters in that town. But that was the theater where they restricted guns. Another thing that was really kind of pierced through the noise of this discussion, and Mr. Burns can help me out on this. I can't remember what killer it was who had plotted his assault, and one of the things when they found his scrap paper, all his strategies, you know, about how he was going to enact some kind of revenge or something like that, one of the things that was on there was the gun-free zones. I don't remember exactly how he wrote it, but he was thinking in those terms. So what we do is we have created soft targets. We have that constitutional right as Americans so that Americans can defend themselves. And in the state of Alaska, that right is even more specific. It isn't just a general right. It's not arguable. It's an individual right because we put those words in there. It's an individual right in this state to keep and bear arms. Mr. Chairman, we could go on about this because it's such a foundational issue of who we are. It's in our Bill of Rights. It's the Second Amendment, for goodness sakes. The university doesn't have any business restricting it like this. And certainly, if the Second Amendment right is going to be restricted, it has to be done in such a way that it achieves the outcome you want to achieve. Clearly, a red sign doesn't keep the bad guy from coming in and shooting people. And it is not least restrictive because it's just a blanket saying thou shalt not carry here, and they do not have the authority to do this. Nowhere in our statutes do we give them that authority. So as I leave and I have to go back to a meeting, my apologies that I can't stay for the whole meeting. Mr. Burns is quite well versed on this. I would just encourage you as a committee to look at the fiscal note and zero it out. As I said, we looked at it. Maybe you will have different information that we have and decide not to do that. It's clearly your purview to do that. But I would encourage you to do that because all it's there for is to pick up another committee of referral at this late date. I believe it's a tactic. It's nowhere near the fiscal notes they've been giving us, but it is a fiscal note, and that picks up another committee. So If I can answer any questions, but I do have to leave, and as I said, Mr. Burns is quite well versed on this.
Senator Kelly, I really appreciate you bringing the bill forward. It touches on their fundamental rights issues, and that's a priority for me. Is there any questions for the sponsor? Consider, if you would, whether or not, if it's just if it's more in the technical areas, we'll leave it to Joe because Senator Kelly has to leave. But just clarifications in general, broad picture.
I have a question on Mr. The Chairman. Yes, I have a question. The fiscal note, just the $450,000, and what was the justification? I was reading the justification, and it seems just to do a study.
That's part of it, Madam Vice Chair. That's part of it. The reason why we were reluctant and finally decided not to fund that was currently they are relying literally on red signs. And now when we're saying you don't have to rely on those red signs anymore, as a matter of fact, you can't rely on those red signs anymore, now they've got to go through this big study to figure out how they're safe. Well, if the red signs worked, then that should be the argument. But one of the things they're trying to achieve, I believe, is the areas beyond which you can't carry a weapon and what are the ramifications of that. We have addressed those in the bill in that domestic violence, disciplinary, those kinds of things. They can screen. You don't have to spend a bunch of money. You don't have to do a security analysis to have a room where domestic violence is going or domestic violence issues are being taken care of to tell somebody, hey, leave the gun out here. It's that simple, and suddenly we've got to do this big study. That's the best answer I have for you, Vice Chair Vasquez.
Again, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, if you would, Joe, identify yourself for the record and then clean up anything you figure your boss left out, okay? Oh, he's still here. You're dead, so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Burns, staff to Senator Pete Kelly. I think Senator Kelly wrapped it up pretty nicely. A couple notes on the fiscal note. This $450,000 figure, this is actually the same figure that was on a 2014 attempt at campus carry. And this current fiscal note is a reduction from the $1.3 million that was zeroed out in a Senate Finance. I would like to note that previously in the previous $1.3 million fiscal note, they referenced the University of Idaho requesting funds when Idaho passed a similar provision in their state allowing campus carry on public campuses. And from our discussions with Idaho's analogous body to legislative finance, they have told me that the legislation never appropriated any extra funding to implement campus carry. So, and from what I understand, the same thing happened in Utah, and there has been no increase in expenditure there. But if the committee would like, I can also go through a sectional analysis, and unless there are other questions.
So I'm going to ask the committee if they want that. We have online quite a list of people to testify, and I'm going to do limited testimony in light of the time, 2 minutes. But if there's, did you want to go through the whole sectional? Does anybody?
Yes.
One request, if you would do that.
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Section 1 adds a findings and intent language to uncodified law, stating that the legislature finds that the Board of Regents may not abridge the individual right to keep and bear arms constitutionally protected under Article 1, Section 19 of the Alaska Constitution, and the legislature reserves to the state the authority to regulate firearms. Section 2 adds a new section into the University of Alaska and Community Colleges statutes found in Title 14, Chapter 40, that makes explicit that the authority to regulate firearms and knives is reserved to the state and that except as provided in by statute, the Board of Regents may not regulate firearms and knives. The Board of Regents are allowed to adopt and enforce policies regulating the open carry of firearms, restricting the discharge of firearms on land where there is reasonable likelihood people, animals, or property will be in jeopardy, the possession of firearms or knives in posted restricted access areas defined as an area beyond a secure point where visitors are screened and doesn't include common areas of ingress and egress open to the public, and may include university-designated rooms where sexual assault, sexual harassment, or domestic violence are investigated and victim assistance is provided, and the university-designated rooms during adjudication of staff and student disciplinary issues and disputes. The Board of Regents may regulate the carrying of firearms in dormitories or shared quarters. However, those regulations must require that the handgun is either carried on the person or secured in an owner-provided lockbox at all times. Persons living in dormitories must declare to the university their intention to store a weapon in their dormitory room. The university may privately collect and store that information for no more than 1 year and use it for the purposes of making housing decisions for students who express they don't want to share a dormitory room with a person who possesses a firearm. The bill prohibits the university from creating a database or registry of persons who possess a firearm on campus, requiring written permission before a person may possess a firearm on campus, and adopting implied consent policies on campus. And the bill also contains a civil liability immunity section that states the university is immune from civil liability for any act or omission resulting from a policy or regulation adopted or enforced under this section of law, which was language requested by the University of Alaska. Section 3 adds an effective date for the bill being August 1st, 2016, and that was added in the Senate Education Committee just to give the university enough time to implement conforming regulations before the upcoming semester. That concludes the sectional analysis, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions on the bill? Representative Funnels.
Yeah. Are there other public spaces or buildings that we prevent the carrying of weapons in?
Through the chair, Representative Bonholtz. So there's two ways to look at this. Under state law, in the weapons misconduct statutes, there's only like five places in the state of Alaska where you're prohibited by law to carry a firearm. Mm-hmm. And you asked specifically about public buildings. The only public building where you're prohibited by law from carrying a firearm are courthouses.
Mm-hmm. Are weapons allowed in the Capitol?
Follow-up, Representative Spanholtz.
Follow-up through the chair, sorry. Are weapons allowed in the Capitol?
Through the chair, Representative Spanholtz, under alleged council policy, mm-hmm. There is a weapons ban inside the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
however, if I may, mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Spanholtz, that weapons ban is not in law. That's a policy promulgated by Ledge Council. So, a person possessing a weapon inside the Capitol is not committing a criminal action by doing so. They're just in violation of the policy.
Follow-up, Representative Funnels.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, can you explain in detail how you expect or anticipate firearm storage to take place within the residence halls?
Through the chair, Representative Spanholtz. So, what the bill currently lines out is it gives the university to regulate openly carried firearms, which was a concern that the university had expressed back in 2014. When it comes to concealed weapons, or handguns as specifically stated in the bill, those would have to be locked in a user-provided lockbox, which the bill defines as a metal hard side container designed to enclose weapons with a built-in locking mechanism. So it couldn't be just any ordinary locking container. It would have to be an actual weapons designed. It would have to be a safe design to enclose weapons.
Okay.
The bill requires that when the weapon is not on the resident's person, it has to be stored inside a lockbox and secured, and that weapon cannot be remain in that lockbox unattended for more than a day. So one of the legitimate concerns that the university has raised is that the issue of theft on campus. Obviously, you don't want weapons, regardless of whether they're loaded or unloaded, or locked inside a locked container, to be just floating around campus. So to prevent that kind of scenario, the bill added this the provision where a weapon stored in a lockbox could not be unattended for more than a day. So if the owner was to go on a trip over the weekend, or go home for spring break, or anything of that nature, the weapon would have to be secured in another location. And all the university campuses do have weapon storage at this time, so that would be a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Representative Seaton, and then Representative Drummond.
Just a question on the, you said that having a weapon in the Capitol isn't a violation of law, it's a violation of policy. If the university is regulating the carrying of weapons on campus or possession of weapons, is that violation of law or violation of policy?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, if I understand your question correctly, you're asking if someone violating the university policy, if that's a violation of law, if they carry a weapon on campus, is that correct?
Follow up, Representative Seaton.
Yeah, clarification. I thought I heard your statement was that, you know, you can't carry a weapon in the Capitol, but it's a violation of policy, not a violation of law. And I'm trying to figure out the understanding here, because I would think that carrying a weapon that has a university policy, no guns on campus or in cars or whatever, would be a policy, and it wouldn't be a violation of law either. It would be a violation of policy.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, yes. So if someone was to bring a weapon on campus now, they are not violating law, because there's no law against carrying a weapon on campus. It is against violation of the policy. Does that answer your question, Representative?
Well,
follow up, Representative Seaton.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out what our distinction here is. We're saying that we can have a policy that says no weapons in the Capitol, but that the university that is, you know, regulating the university buildings can't have a very similar policy. And that's what we're trying to do, is override the policy, not override law. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, so our understanding is that the sponsor's understanding is that the policy that the university is promulgating is contradictory to the Constitution. This bill is a way to try to address that conflict in the Constitution, allowing students and faculty members who under the policy are denied the right to keep and bear arms, under the Constitution, giving them that ability. As for the Capitol, that's not something that the bill contemplates. That's not the focus of our legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Burns. You said a few moments ago that there are five places where you're prohibited by law from carrying a weapon in the state. You said courthouses, the Capitol, although that apparently is a policy question. What are the other places where you're prohibited?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, so the Capitol is not in that list of prohibited spaces under law. So under state law, under the weapons misconduct statutes, it's a fifth-degree weapons misconduct if you carry a weapon inside a bar, inside a K-12 institution and daycare, inside a domestic violence shelter, inside a courthouse, and inside a person's home without the express or without the consent of an adult resident in that house. So. Okay.
And
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How about on military bases?
So, through the chair, Representative Drummond, The restriction on military bases, that's under federal statutes. Mm-hmm. I believe there is a restriction from carrying weapons on military bases, but that's under federal law.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
Representative Sponholz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's to my knowledge, there are quite a few sort of co-located facilities, which include, you know, where K-12 students are on campuses. I know that there's daycare centers on campuses. It sounds like there's quite a few of the sort of prohibited facilities. How is it that this bill proposes to address that?
Representative Sponholz, through the chair. By co-located facilities, I think the university, in their opposition, they've tried to make this analogy that there are K-12 students that do come on university campuses. However, these are not spaces that are considered K-12 schools or daycares. And under state law, though, you're prevented from having a weapon on those places under criminal law. I think analogous would be, should we have a restriction on weapons inside Fred Meyers because K-12 students sometimes go into Fred Meyers or any other number of buildings? Those spaces inside statute where weapons are prevented, or if you're, excuse me, the spaces in statute where it's a weapons misconduct to carry a weapon inside a K-12 school or daycare, those are specific buildings specifically for that purpose. So the bill doesn't contemplate any additional protection or, excuse me, any additional regulation for K-12 or daycare type facilities on campus. Or, excuse me, not facilities, but addressing programs that cater to K-12 students.
Chair? This may not be for the gentleman in front of us, but we may need to clarify whether or not there actually are child care centers on the university campuses. I know until very recently there was one on the UAA campus, so.
If I may, Mr. Chair, Representative Sponholz, so if there was a child care facility on university campus, that would be protected under criminal law.
Okay. I think we're into public. Oh, Representative Drummond?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Burns. You spoke about in dormitories the weapons would have to be properly contained. What are the consequences for improper storage or, in fact, handling or a gun improperly in a dormitory, or if it's left unattended? How is that going to be handled?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond. So the university would it says the university may adopt regulations for regulating possession of firearms in dormitory rooms, except for those provisions where it has to be put in a lockbox. Lockbox can be unattended for more than a day. The user has to declare their intention to store a weapon inside the university, etc. So the university, the expectation is the university would come up with regulations and policies that would address situations where those things are not followed. So that would be something that they would, those policies would be something that the Board of Regents or the individual campuses would come up with.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Sponholz, do you have a follow-up?
Thank you. Through the chair, thank you. I wanted to know if there is any provisions within the bill provide for gun-free housing or weapon-free housing for students who would prefer not to live in a dorm residence where weapons are present.
Through the chair, Representative Sponholz. So the bill contemplates or is it trying to address a couple different interests right here. There's the interest of students who desire to carry to have their privacy maintained, and there's also the interest of students who may not wish to room with someone that is possessing a weapon. And so that's why the bill outlines that persons wishing to possess to store a weapon inside their dormitory room have to declare their intention to do so to the University of Alaska. Mm-hmm. And then the university may collect that information and aggregate it and store it privately and then use that information when they make housing decisions. So if a student expresses they wish not to live in a dorm room with or share a dorm room with someone that is possessing a weapon, the university can make sure that does not happen. Mm-hmm. However, the bill states that the university may not segregate persons who have weapons to a separate building, separate floor, or separate area of the university, and that's to maintain the privacy of those who wish to carry. I guess that's where I'd end off with that. The attempt is to protect the privacy of those who wish to carry.
Follow up, Representative Spanholz.
I'm not sure if I have a specific follow-up question as much, Mr. Chair, as a comment. But you know, when you're in a dorm, the
debate will come later.
Okay.
So just clarification.
It is challenging for me to understand how that thin wall prevents. I think it seems like we may be in a situation where we're forcing people to live in housing with people that have weapons without their consent, and that concerns me a little bit.
Representative Culver?
I'm good.
Representative Seaton?
Thanks. On page 2, line 10, the Board of Regents may adopt and enforce policies regulating the carrying of openly carried firearms. Can you give me the reasoning between regulating, or I presume that follows a policy of not allowing open carried firearms but allowing concealed firearms? Is that what the intent of that is?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, that is correct. So the language in the bill says that they may adopt regulations, may adopt and enforce policies regulating the carrying of openly carried firearms. So that includes restricting them or not allowing them on campus. The bill only states that the university may not regulate the concealed carry of weapons on campus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay. What that's going to do is bring us to the time we're going to take public testimony, and I'm going to put a limit on it, 2 minutes, just in light of all the things going on today. I do want to just say for the record that, just to clarify, Representative Culver did join us at 6 minutes after. I think you weren't on the, and then we have Representative Ortiz in the audience. He came in about 12:30. So thank you, Joe. You'll be standing by in case there's further questions. I have about a dozen online. The University of Alaska General Counsel has asked to go first, and I don't see a reason why we can't honor that. I don't know, Michael, Hostina.
Thank you, Chairman Keller, for the opportunity to address the committee. The university's Board of Regents, as you may know, has not opposed this bill outright. It has instead requested amendments to this bill to allow the university to regulate firearms on campus. Of the six amendments that the board has sought, the Senate Education Committee substitute for this bill originally included four of those amendments. This version of the bill rolls back two of those and restricts two of those. So we're down to about one and a half or two of the issues that the University Board of Regents would like to see addressed in this bill. This bill now requires the board to allow concealed handguns in dorms and shared housing. The only way the university may regulate is by requiring transient people to maintain possession of the weapon while they're visiting, and requires the resident to provide his or her own lockbox. That's a significant concern to the university because lock boxes. In fact, it doesn't even specify, the bill doesn't specify that the box must be a box for a storage of firearms. It just has a metal box that has an integral lock. And many of these, even firearm storage boxes, can be picked with a paper clip. And unless the box is secured, that won't deter theft. So that's one part of our concern about this version of the bill. The other perhaps unintended consequence of the language of this version of the bill is that it doesn't regulate concealed carry of long guns or prevent students from bringing long guns into their living area. It also doesn't provide for storage of long guns. It only addresses storage of handguns. So if a student wishes to bring a long gun into their living area, they can bring it in concealed and store it open in their dormitory room. So that would be another significant concern. It also, the Senate education version of the bill would have allowed the board to regulate firearms or knives with troubled students or employees. We literally have thousands of employees and thousands of students on our campuses, most of whom are obviously, dedicated folks or folks intended, dedicated to doing their jobs, or folks who are just here to get an education and go make Alaska a better place to live. Some, have mental problems, some have disciplinary issues, a small minority, granted, but it is common every day of the week for some part of the university to be dealing with someone, either a staff member or a student, who is in some way troubled. And, in those specific situations, the Board of Regents respectfully request the ability to regulate firearms. Having a firearm at a disciplinary hearing, having a firearm at a dispute hearing is not wise, and the legislature has accorded the court system that kind of ability to regulate firearms, and the university would request similar consideration. This bill would require the university to establish secure storage areas to manage those areas where disputes or discipline is adjudicated. That would result in some level of cost, because a restricted access area is defined in the bill as an area beyond a secure point beyond which visitors are screened. We don't know precisely what that means, but it means something other than putting up a sign. Right now, we can regulate, under Regents policy, the ability for people to possess weapons in those areas. If we haven't abided by the statute, which requires us to establish secure points, our attempt to restrict firearms in those areas will be challenged and will be engaged in litigation, if nothing else. Let's see. So,
Michael? We are trying to keep the testimony down to 2 minutes. I have, given extra room because, you are general counsel for the university, but if you would keep it concise, and thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much for your consideration. In brief, there are numerous areas where the state regulates firearms. The university is a sensitive area of the school. It is government property. We don't believe that regulating government property for safety issues is a violation of the Constitution, and the board would certainly appreciate the ability to regulate in the six areas where it has requested regulation. It would be this legislation, if those six amendments were adopted, would be very much like the eight states that require some version of concealed carry. Six of those states require a permit. Of those six, two require an enhanced concealed carry permit. And four of those eight states, allow the universities to regulate firearms in dorms. So we certainly appreciate your time and respectfully request those amendments.
Thank you, Michael. We're going to go right down the line here on the off-net. George Peace, Representative Vasquez, did you have a question for Michael?
Well, I had a comment with regard to his testimony. I have a question. One of the concerns you have is regulating firearms where you have student disciplinary actions taking place. And the bill appears to address this. It prohibits firearms, and I'm looking at page 2, lines 19 and 20, quote, in university-designated rooms during adjudication of staff or student disciplinary issues and disputes. So that seems to address one of your concerns.
Yeah, but we don't want to debate with the testifiers if it's okay. And and just for the record, that last statement, Michael is still online, but I have asked for George. So just clarifying. So I'm going to say...
This is George Pierce on the phone.
Yeah, okay, George, go ahead and identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Sorry. My name's George Pierce. I'm calling from Kasilop, Alaska. Thanks for taking my testimony. You should be passing the budget and address the mess with the oil taxes instead of wasting time on stupid bills like this one. Show me young adults carrying guns are in the name of education. This bill, it was created by the ALEC members, so let's call it what it is. It's nonsense. You listen to the NRA, but you won't listen to the will of the people. It will intimidate students. And how will you know if a person is trained in gun safety went through that training? They are concealed. You want kids to carry guns in universities, but you don't want them to carry around the Capitol. Why? A little narrow-minded, don't you think, there, fellas and girls? Shame on you. Shootings are in high schools and elementary schools, too. Are you going to allow those kids to start carrying guns also? This bill impacts UA's ability to regulate firearms. Will our college have a protection clause if a disaster happens that the ones held responsible is the dumb legislators or ALEC members who created such a nonsense bill? Will the college be granted immunity from civil suits? Have you read the police blotter on campuses? None are gun-related. Why fix something that's not broken? George,
if you could wrap it up. Your 2 minutes is quickly going here.
Well, you know, the students and the faculty members have told you no. Why don't you listen to the people that are going to, that are there, and kids go to school to be educated and to party, not to carry guns and be intimidated. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you for taking time to call in, George. Mike Coons. And again, I'm going to get a little bit more watchful on the 2 minutes, but so give us your testimony quickly, please.
This will be under 2 minutes. My name is Mike Coons from Palmer, and I'm speaking for myself, and I am a NRA Life Heritage member. I have testified in the Senate hearings for SB 174, and have, like the senators, endured the fear, the flat-out lies, the anti-gun talking points, as well as the foreign students, faculty, and Alaska faculty that threatened to leave if this passes. As Senator Kelly said on the floor the other day, don't let the door hit them on the way out. What really gets me is the audacity that some preface this to their testimony that they hunt, they own guns, but they oppose the armed citizen on campus because they don't trust their fellow gun owners. They use the I hunt or target shoot as a ruse. The Second Amendment in Article 1, Section 19 is not about hunting. It's not about target shooting or collecting. It's about our fundamental freedom against any form of tyrants, be that an out-of-control government or a criminal bent on serious harm or death to me or others. Thus, any whom call in with this ruse, I am calling out as a flat-out liar or an elitist like Rosie O'Donnell, who thinks only they can own a firearm but not the rest of us lowly peasants. What they don't understand, nor will they admit, is that we, whom stand for our God-given rights as recognized by our founding fathers, shall prevail. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Greg Stoddard?
Can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman Keller and Senator Kelly, Mr. Burns, and the many supporters of SB 174 for hearing my testimony. It's going to be short. I testified in front of Judiciary and Finance, and, you know, this is kind of redundant, but please support SB 174, the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, and indeed Article 1, Section 19 of our state constitution, has been ignored by the University of Alaska's policymakers. We'd not need this law if existing statute were being followed. Let's put unfounded fear aside and follow both the Constitution of Alaska and hopefully this new law, however unfortunate its requirement. No law or policy prevents acts of terror by armed aggressors. Current laws already provide the avenue of accountability for those who would abuse the rights of others. SB 174 provides for generous regulatory policymaking to address some of the concerns policymakers have, which you have spoken to earlier. Caller before last mentioned that you should listen to some of the people that are here. Well, I work here on the campus, and this is my full-time job. And I, 2 years ago, January, I tried to do an internal effort to review the policymakers, went through the chancellor, through then-President Gamble, to the Board of Regents, and they ignored me. So apparently the legislature is the only way to get or require the policymakers, the Board of Regents, to follow existing law. And, once again, unfortunate new law. Thank you.
thank you, Greg. You made it with 5 seconds to spare. We thank you for that. Okay, we're going to go to Regine Hawk from Fairbanks.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Regina Hawk, and I'm a professor at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. SB 174 should be opposed for the same reasons that guns are regulated in other places like courtrooms, K-12 schools, party conventions, military bases, and the Capitol. The university is a place of learning and exploring, which can lead to controversies and heated discussions, something that we encourage as part of the learning process, but we need to feel safe to do so, and I don't if this bill passes. As faculty, we can cause major distress to students, for example, by assigning low grades, by failing a student, or terminating a graduate student. I've been teaching large freshman classes where it is not unusual for some students to feel frustrated by the grades they receive. In some cases, I have had students with obvious psychological challenges and anger problems. I have had students come under the influence of drugs and alcohol to class. I'm deeply dismayed and scared by the possibility of such students bringing weapons to my class office. I'm more concerned about mass shootings, which are extremely rare. I'm concerned about impulse reactions of such students in my class due to mental issues, alcohol, and anger. Freedom of speech will be compromised if professors and students need to fear that somebody in my class may be offended by what is being said. It will negatively impact the climate of teaching and learning at university. The vast majority of faculty, staff, and students, as also voiced, for example, by the Board of Regents, college presidents, campus police chiefs, the union, the faculty senate, and the staff council, does not want this bill. Imposing a bill largely from the outside against the majority of those actually working and studying at the university seems to me utterly undemocratic. I urge you to respect the wish of the majority of those actually affected and oppose this bill. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Regina, for calling in, and thank you for being brief. You're right on time. Simon Philhall?
Hi, thank you for letting me speak. My name is Simon Philhall. I'm a representative myself. I'm a student and employee at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm deeply concerned for my safety at work based on the regulation enacted in SB 174 about the right for carrying firearms within the university building. First, the university classroom, conference rooms, and other places across campus are places of public debate and discussions where anyone's beliefs and values can be challenged. This is a necessary part of the academic process. Allowing firearms in these places implies a hierarchy in between individuals who carry guns and those who don't. This will restrict one's freedom to express its opinion based on the knowledge that the handgun, an object designed to kill, is present in the room. It will therefore prevent free debate and therefore limit the ability for people as to perform actual work. Then, I came to UAS because it is a world-leading institution in the discipline I choose to pursue. If the campus allowed gun in classroom, my decision would have been different. Many friends around me here at UAS, who are also students, express similar feelings. How many opportunities will the university miss in attracting new and bright people that can pull the Alaskan community and economy forward? So because I would feel unsafe being surrounded by firearms in my daily workplace, and because I believe this bill will hurt the attractiveness of the University of Alaska, I ask you to stop this counterproductive bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Simon. Jeffrey Benowitz.
Hello. Dear legislators, unions are really bad at risk assessment.
Jeffrey, excuse me, identify yourself for the record. I'm sorry. Give us your name.
Jeffrey Benowitz.
And you represent yourself?
Yep.
Okay, if you would. Go ahead.
Unions are really bad at risk assessment. They're scared of sharks, lightning, and snakes, where bees lead to far more death. Unions are also bad on safety assessment. The UA Regents has banned marijuana on campus for safety reasons. The UA Regents has banned tobacco on campus for safety reasons. Almost all, if not all, sexual assaults on campus involve alcohol, yet the UA Regents allows alcohol on campus. Given the documented safety issues when college students have access to alcohol, I suggest an amendment to SB 174 that bans the presence of alcohol in campus buildings when guns are present. College-age students are mature enough to be safe with and have the right to possess firearms. Sadly, many college-age students do not make the right decisions with alcohol. Excess drinking and guns do not mix well. Please amend SB 174 so that it bans the presence of alcohol in campus buildings when guns are present. University of Alaska students will make the right choice. Given the option, will choose firearm possession, which is a right, over alcohol, which is a permission. Thank you for serving.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Ross Mullins.
Alcohol, which is a
thing.
Thank you for serving.
Ross, if you're on a speakerphone or you may be muted.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for taking my testimony. It will be brief. I am a 54-year-old.
Ross, identify yourself so it's on the record, please, then go ahead.
Yes, my name is Ross Mullins. I'm a 54-year resident of Cordova. I've had four children who have attended college.
Ross, identify yourself so it's on the record, please.
You turn the radio off.
Yes, my name is Ross Mullins. I'm a 54-year resident. And if I had known of a legal firearms carry on any college campus they wished to attend, I would have prevented that from happening. I think this bill is insanity, and I don't think that, you know, your judgment on this is a responsible one if this bill were to continue through the process. I think the Senator Kelly and his ideological framework is flawed. The Constitution, which should be relegating firearms to armed militias, is not being properly construed. So thank you very much. If you see fit to keep promoting this bill, I would be very distressed. Thank you very much for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Ross, and sorry there was a little bit of feedback there on the phone, but we heard you clearly. Carl Kanzer?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Very well, thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Keller, for taking my testimony. My name is Carl Cancer. I'm a resident of Anchorage since 1962, and good afternoon to you and the committee. In listening to the testimony, what got me curious is when they testified that they wanted to get the weapons in a locked box on campus, and that if some of the students knew that someone was carrying concealed, that they would not want to room with them. It's my understanding that when you carry a concealed weapon, it's so no one knows that you have a weapon or a gun. Okay? But if they have to register it on campus, or someone doesn't want to dorm with someone because they know they're carrying a concealed gun, then everyone knows they're carrying concealed. And for example, if I was a terrorist or I wanted to come in and shoot up the campus, and I knew someone was carrying a concealed weapon, they would be the first person that I would shoot. So, you know, a lot of this is just boggles my mind. But when you speak of terrorists or someone who wants to shoot up a campus, it only takes just once. And for information, I have a 9-shot revolver. I can get off 9 shots in 3 seconds. So when you talk about the campus police who have testified that they can be anywhere in a minute and a half to 2 minutes, guess how many people you can shoot in 3 seconds. So, you know, I'm in favor of this bill, but I'm not in favor of anyone knowing who's carrying concealed or not. And I think that the chances of someone that's getting a bad grade or something, or being counseled, shooting something up, I think would be extremely rare, probably more rare than someone, some terrorist or someone coming on campus and shooting it up. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Carl, for taking time to call in. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, bud.
Okay, now we're going to go here in the room. There it is. I hit the button. There, Callie Connaughton from the university.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to speak today. For the record, my name is Callie Connerton. I am a UAS student. I represent the student body as their president, as well as the Coalition of Student Leaders as the vice chair. There are two big reasons why I'm here before you opposing SB 174. First of all, the campus is not a place for guns. And second, contrary to what you've been told, this bill does have fiscal impact, and Alaska students cannot afford it. Major stakeholders from students, the university president, board of regents, and school faculty oppose this dangerous and expensive legislation. The campus is not a place for guns, and universities and college campuses are relatively safe from gun violence. But the campus life have other risk factors that make presence of guns dangerous. Alcohol and drugs. Alcohol leads to impaired judgment, as we all know, and whether or not to shoot a gun or not, as well as impaired aim when firing. A Columbia University study found that half of U.S. college students binge drink or abuse illegal or prescription drugs when on campus. College students have an elevated risk of firearm suicide. The firearm suicide rate of those from 18 to 21-year-olds is nine times higher than those of under 17-year-olds. And suicide attempts with guns are far more successful than other suicide attempts. Here in Alaska, we have seasonal affective disorder, which also leads to depression in our students. People ages 18 through 20 represent 4.4% of the total U.S. population, but commit 17% of all gun homicides. Some students might be responsible gun owners. However, there are often situations where they're in close proximity to students who do not have the knowledge or the responsibility of gun handling, or think of guns as a toy. We do not want students to have easy access to a gun if they are not going to be responsible with it. There is no concealed carry permit that is required in this bill, which would allow someone to be able to carry without proper knowledge, as long as they have not done anything to warrant them not to pass a background check. My final point is that students will end up paying for this bill. And with the budget crunch we are under, it's irresponsible to pass a bill that will cost students money. Joe Burns talked about Idaho and how the Idaho campus universities, or the Idaho state legislature, did not pay anything to it. But the students did. The students paid $3.7 million towards this, and they also had a financial crisis. So I respectfully ask you to vote no on Senate Bill 174. Thank you.
Thank you, Callie, and thank you for being brief. Dr. Vess? Identify yourself for the record.
Yes, thank you. My name is Laura Vess. I'm an assistant professor of sociology at UAS. I live here in Juneau. I grew up in a small Virginia town with a significant gun culture. I'm a graduate of Virginia Tech and the former resident advisor of the fourth floor of West Ambler Johnson, where the first shootings took place. I did not live there anymore, but there's a strong tie. I have sent you an email with an extended version of today's testimony that I hope you will read, and so I'll speak quickly for time's sake. First, some legislators have expressed concern about sexual assault and rape on campus. They are right to be concerned. However, 90% of reported cases, the victim knew his or her attacker, and in the overwhelming majority of assaults, the survivor is incapacitated due to alcohol. Arming women on campus will not protect them from sexual violence, especially when it is equally likely that their assailant may be armed. Second, many of our students are coping with depression, anxiety, and drug and alcohol problems. Many young adults do not have the emotional maturity and psychological development for responsible firearm use, especially in high-density settings. Next, this is an unfunded mandate in a time of budgetary shortfalls. There's ample evidence to suggest that costs will rise significantly to increase security, not to mention the likelihood that should this pass, many students and their families will choose to spend their higher education dollars out of state. Finally, universities are unique learning environment. This bill introduces unknown dangers to university staff and faculty, risk I might add that have been pointed out that legislators are protected from. Professors regularly teach and teach difficult and sensitive topics that some students find challenging and are not always able to process in a calm way. It is the job of a professor and instructor to discipline and evaluate students, and this places us in a vulnerable position. There is no evidence to support the idea that more weapons on campus will prevent mass shootings, nor is there evidence to suggest that gun-free zones are the problem. I strongly urge the legislature to reject SB 147 for the safety of our students and the university community. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. We had one more call in on the off-net, Arlene Ronda from Homer.
Yes, this is Arlene Ronda from Homer, Alaska. I would just like to go on record very, very strongly against the bill. I think the trained security personnel should be the only ones that are authorized to have guns on campus. And I would end with that simple request. Please vote against this bill.
Thank you, Arlene. One more left, I believe, Brian Judy in the room. Identify yourself for the record, please. And
good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brian Judy. I'm the Alaska State Liaison for the National Rifle Association, speaking today in support of Senate Bill 174. Self-defense is a fundamental right. This bill would erase the arbitrary lines that currently prohibit a person from choosing a means of self-protection on one side of the line that they can use on the other side of the line. This bill effectively would end gun-free zones on Alaska college campuses. Gun-free school zones have proven to be a public policy failure, if not a public policy disaster. Virginia Tech, Newtown, Columbine, or the Aurora, Colorado Theater, we all know them, we've all heard of them, we all know the circumstances. Virtually every one of these mass killings in recent years has occurred in a so-called gun-free zone. Criminals don't obey gun laws. This is not rocket science, including designated gun-free zones. Gun-free zones will only be respected by law-abiding citizens. The reality is, designating an area as a gun-free zone effectively creates not a gun-free zone, but rather a zone where only the potential victims are gun-free. Currently, 8 states. We hear a lot about, you know, predictions of disaster and catastrophe if this law takes effect. There are 8 states that already have laws that allow an individual to choose their means of self-protection on college campuses. There haven't been a problem in any of those states. So, and we always hear about this. In 1993, when Alaska passed a concealed weapon permit law, we heard predictions of catastrophe. In 2003, when the permitless carry law was passed by Eric Croft, we heard predictions of catastrophe. A couple years ago when the No Duty to Retreat bill was passed here in Alaska, we heard predictions of catastrophe. It doesn't happen. It's irrational fear by people who don't like firearms, who don't like law-abiding citizens to be able to choose whether they want to provide a means of self-protection, and if they make that choice, to choose what means. You've heard a lot about the bill. It's a balanced bill. It restricts open carry, which effectively sets the age at 21 because you have to be 21 to carry concealed in Alaska, whether you have a permit or whether you're carrying permitless. It allows some regulation in dorms. I think the dorm issue is essentially irrelevant because by the time people are 21, very few 21-year-olds are still living in dorms. There are other restrictions that parallel existing law. You heard about the sexual assault, harassment, and DV areas where these services are provided and investigations are held. That's analogous to the state law regulating and DV shelters. This allows areas where disciplinary issues and disputes are adjudicated, analogous to the existing law in courthouses. So it's a balanced bill. You know, I've talked about the predictions of tragedy. It's just not an issue. The financial issues. You heard about Idaho. The students didn't pay $3.7 million in Idaho. The legislature said they needed $3.7 million. The legislature appropriated nothing, and they're fine. There's not a problem. Let me throw one last point. About the financial impact or the potential financial impact without this, if you have a tragedy. In Virginia Tech, after that incident, the university was found liable and held responsible and ordered to pay $11 million to the victims of that incident. So there are financial ramifications either way, and the potential for $11 million is significantly greater than whatever minor costs could be incurred, which, by the way, other schools are not finding the need, or in other states are not finding the need to allocate. So just in closing, I urge your support for this bill with no further amendments than were already put on in the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for being brief. Just for the record, Andy Josephson, Representative Josephson, has joined us at 109. And it looks like we had another call come in from Anchorage. Russell Kell, is it?
Yes.
Identify yourself, if you would, for the record, and give us your testimony.
Yes, my name is Russell Kell.
I'm assuming you've been listening, but we're asking that you keep your testimony down to 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Certainly. I'm speaking for myself, and I'd like to point out that currently there is, I don't believe, any law that prohibits the carrying of concealed handguns at the university, yet the university, okay, has instructed, or by its own acts, indicates to its students, okay, that it's okay to ignore a constitutional right, okay, by making its own policy, even though it's already stated that the legislature has the right to make this law. In addition, I'd like to point out that people may not feel safe, but the question is whether or not they actually are safe. And the last thing I'd like to say is, if the university is so concerned about the students, okay, and their actions, could they be a little bit more careful on their admissions? And the last thing I'd like to say is, due to the university's policy, okay, I applaud the legislature for their $77 million cut and hope that it goes through as planned. Thank you.
Thank you for taking time to call in. I see nobody else online, and I see nobody else in the room, so we're going to close public testimony. That brings the bill in front of the committee for comments or action. Representative Sponholz?
Yeah, I have a question, in light of Mr. Brian Judy, am I getting your name correct, testimony? About the payout on the Virginia Tech killings. My presumption is that was paid out by insurance, and one thing I was wondering as it related to the fiscal note is whether or not we know how this law would affect the university's risk management insurance issues. I imagine it would change the context for them.
I'm debating on reopening public testimony to get a response for you. We'll do it this once, but and then we'll close it again. Brian, if you come back up, there's a question for you to clarify, so we'll open testimony for a little bit. And as I understand the question, I'll let you re-ask it, but it's cost that was incurred in Idaho. Did you want to?
Yeah, we may also need to ask the university. So through the chair, Mr. Judy, do we know about the impact that this law would have on insurance rates for the university?
Through the chair, Representative Spontholz, I'm not sure, I don't know the details of how the $11 million was paid out. I just know that Virginia Tech, in a civil lawsuit, was found liable and ordered to pay $11 million.
Okay. We're going to close public testimony again, because the reason is we're hurrying for some of the committee members that have something else to go, and I do want action on the bill today.
I understand.
One way or the other. So.
I understand that was not that didn't answer the question, though.
Okay.
Well, I think it was the wrong person.
You take that into account with your vote, then.
Okay. We're not going to get an answer on the record?
No. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, it's come up about the concealed carry back in 2004, I think it was. Anyone is allowed without a permit. I mean, I voted for that. I've been an NRA member for a long time. I think when I was 16, I got a M1 carbine through the NRA's program. I could have been 18. I can't remember. I'm very supportive. However, I think that we overriding the regent's ability to set policy on the grounds is not going to be beneficial. I think that the university needs to be able to set policies within its framework. I'm not going to be supportive of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. And I actually neglected, Madam Vice Chair, put the motion on the table, and then we can finish up with the comments.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for SB 174 version 29-LS1306/GG is in good from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay. So, and I would assume that we'll take that. Is there an objection, Representative Spontholz?
I just wanted an answer to the question.
Is there an objection to the motion? Seeing no objection?
I object.
Okay. Representative Drummond, would you like to speak to your objection?
Not at this point. I'd like to hear the discussion.
Yeah, under discussion of the bill, you objected to moving it, so if you have discussion, now's the time. And I'm sorry I was clumsy in getting here. That's what I intended.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Drummond.
I would like to hear an explanation from the university of this fiscal note that's on our table. And is this something that we are going to include in this bill?
Representative Drummond, if we move the bill, then that fiscal note will be attached. And it's, the description's on there.
Okay, so the committee has accepted this fiscal note.
We have not rejected it. Therefore, when it gets moved from committee with attached fiscal note, that fiscal note will go with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Representative Seaton, did you have another comment?
I did. I noted that the university had request for the education Senate education version that had some provisions for them to be able to have concealed carry with permits required for people on campus. I think that was probably a reasonable restriction so that they would know that people on campus, which is a more volatile situation, with a younger clientele, that those people would receive some training, because as it is, we're saying that just anybody that is a real questionable thing in the university setting. So I think that would be a reasonable policy for us to having this bill.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. And I have read the minutes on the other side. I know it was a point of discussion over there, and all that doesn't answer it here, but it's something that can be brought up. Do you maintain your objection, Representative Drummond?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Would you call the roll?
Passage of the committee substitute of Senate Bill
No.
174 Finance. Representative Cowley.
Yes.
Representative Dunn.
No.
Representative
Sponholm. What are my choices?
Yes or no.
Yes or no, is it?
Well, you can pass and then come back, or you have.
Well, my question you get.
Void roll. You can't ask questions and debate during a vote process, and when the question is up for vote, voice vote, and I'm sorry, but it is yes, no. There is no, you can pass and tell everybody else votes and then vote, but.
I don't have a political reason for not picking one or the other. I my question wasn't answered, and so I don't feel like I have the information, so, all right.
Yeah. Call the roll, please.
For the committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 Finance, Representative Colter.
Yes.
Representative Drummond.
No.
Representative Sponholm.
No.
Representative Talamico.
Yes.
Representative Vasquez.
Yes.
Representative Steaton.
No.
Chair Keller.
Yes.
I have 4 days and 3 days.
So, SB 174 moves out of committee. I would just point out on the record that it goes from here to judiciary. We got work that we can do on it there and in the process. And I guess I really feel like apologizing again because that was a little bit rushed. But I know that we have at least one that is due 10 minutes late to another committee. So with that, we're going to go adjourn and thank you at 1:20.